Hello and welcome back to another Buffy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Kristen.
And we are going to geek out about Angel. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 10, Parting Gifts.
Woohoo!
Woo! You know, so I'll just say that I'll get it out of the way in the beginning. This is the episode where Wesley comes to town and mm-hmm. Cordelia gets her visions. That's what this episode's about. the very nitty gritty of it. So this opening scene between Angel and the Oracles, I really like this. I like that
he's
basically pleading with the powers that be. Like, I like that he wants them to do something because he's had them do it before. He's mm-hmm. like, you changed fucking time for me. Do this. And they won't do it. And then he kind of like sadly says like,
he's my friend.
Like, yeah. I want my, and it's a really sweet thing. And then he's smart. And he's like,
there's one consequence. Even by your generous standards, Doyle was my sole contact to the powers that be. Without his visions, I'm fighting blind.
All will soon be made clear.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of this whole exchange is that when he says he's my friend, and the Lady Oracle, she's like, well, if that's true, then so shall it ever be. And I'm just sort of like, I think that's what a lot of people forget about death. It's like, it's very sad because you can't have more time with the person who's gone. But I think what a lot of people, and especially a lot of like shows and stuff, don't take into account is that you can still remember
right
the like the nice moments and stuff. And it's like, just because he's dead doesn't mean he isn't or wasn't your friend,
right?
Like, and I think the kind of the underlying point of that is like, and she even says it specifically, she's like, don't make him have done the sacrifice in vain. Like, what are you, you know, if you had me reset time, he would never have found his full redemption,
right?
And I'm sort of like, yeah, why would you take that away from Doyle since it's what you're working so hard for? Like, how could you be that selfish?
Yeah, it's actually, it's a great lesson for him
yeah.
to, like, learn that. Like, oh, you can't decide other people getting their redemption arcs when
exactly.
that is works for you. And it's good.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the rogue demon hunter.
My God.
That we don't know about yet.
Not yet.
We just see a motorcycle and legs chasing after a demon.
A full leather outfit, though.
Full leather outfit.
It's important to note.
It is an intimidating, the presence before we know who it is,
yeah.
is intimidating. You're just like, ooh, what is this?
Oh, man.
And then Cordelia, when we come back from the credits, Cordelia is trying to find Doyle's special coffee mug.
What are you looking for?
Nothing. Doyle's special coffee mug.
Doyle didn't have a special mug.
Don't you think he should have?
I love all of this. I love all of the scene work that's just grief. Like, it's just them. It's not a passing, like, in Killed by Death, Joyce talks to Giles about Jenny for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all that's done in that episode. And like we said, they, you know, they mention it here and there, but like this episode, they really just sit in it.
Yeah.
And understandably, like, we're moving to Wesley, so it would be really weird if we were just like, here's the new
look,
Doyle.
Wesley's here. It's great.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I also, there's something so heartbreaking about Cordelia just like staring at the coffee mugs and like picking them up individually. And Angel is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
it's just one of those things about like someone who's died where you're like, I mean, this is obviously like the next day, but you kind of like start forgetting what their favorite things were. And you
right.
like, you get to a point where you're like, I don't remember if they liked peanut butter, you know?
Right.
We're there very suddenly in this episode, but it's really nice. I think it's really nice.
What's interesting too is it's such a, I'm not gonna say nuance again. I feel so redundant saying nuance like in every episode.
Pull
but
up
it's
the
such
thesaurus.
A,
what's another yeah. word for nuance?
What's another word for nuance? It's just so interesting to watch her kind of go through it because they became a tight-knit family and
yeah.
they were only together for like 3 months, but
But they're a team. It's like
they're a team. Yeah. They were fighting through life and death situations, which are traumatic events, which bond people for life already. And so, like, they went through all this. They were a tight-knit family, but they hadn't been together long enough to learn the individual idiosyncrasies of each other.
Yeah.
Like, Cordelia knows enough about Angel and vice versa because they had 3 years prior.
Yeah.
But, like, Doyle was the new member of the family, and they didn't get to, like, have it was mostly just jabbing at each other and saving the world. And so I like that it's just like, you know, I want something to remember.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. Like, I think she would have kept if there had been a mug that was Doyle's, I think she would have kept it. And that's the other thing too, is like, more often than not, the like grief of losing somebody is like knowing that you'll never know more about them.
Yeah.
Because, like, you could ask people who knew the person, but it's not going to be the same as hearing it straight from the person.
Absolutely.
You know, you're never going to hear the rest of their stories. And I think that is what the little coffee mug scene does brilliantly without putting, like, shining a light on it.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, and then Cordelia realizes Angel is trying to suppress his feelings.
Get out.
What?
I mean, of the office. Take the day off. Go live your life a little bit. I can manage here.
Don't think I don't know what you're doing, Angel.
What am I doing?
You're trying to push me away. Close yourself off.
That's not what
I've got news for you, Broody boy. We're all we've got now. You may not like sharing your grief with others, but that's the normal, healthy way people deal with loss. I'm not going anywhere, so get used to it.
And she's hilarious in this scene where she's like, uh-uh, I am not leaving. Oh, I gotta go.
I don't even really think he is, though.
No, I think
I don't really
like...
think he is trying to suppress his feelings. I just think he's, like, being Angel.
I think he definitely is... He is feeling things.
Yeah.
He's definitely going through something, but he's not suppressing it. I think she's projecting a lot of how she's feeling onto Angel.
Yeah, definitely.
We see in this episode and in later episodes how much losing Doyle affects him. So he definitely is sad about it. I think not as sad as Cordelia, because he's lost people.
Yeah.
And she hasn't really experienced it at this level, I don't think.
That's true. Also, he's lost people, but also... if anything, he needs to be the one who's like trying, like, emoting harder, because again, his like immediate reaction is that he's like, well, I'm a solo like crime fighter now, no one can help me because they'll die, and it'll be, and you know, he thinks he's responsible for Doyle's death. And it's just like, dude, Doyle made a choice. And the longer that you sit in this nonsense about having to work alone and not accepting help, the more you cheapen his sacrifice.
I will say he is responsible, but in a positive way. Like, he's
sure.
the one who inspired him to do it. And I think...
Yeah, but he didn't, like, javelin Doyle at that fucking machine,
didn't.
You know?
I think it's more of, like, a turmoil inside of him. Like, oh, I convinced him to be a hero, which is a good thing, and I should be proud of him. But I am also sad that the thing I did caused my friend to die. And I think that's, like, something he's doing. He's working out in his, like... deadpan brooding face.
Sure, yeah. That's
fair. Give Angel way more credit
than
he deserves.
Way too much credit.
And then Barney shows up.
You scared the heck out of me.
You? I scared you? Look in the mirror lately?
Every chance I get.
He's very funny.
He's funny. Until he's not.
Well, okay. That's correct. He's funny until he's not. I always forget why I like this episode, and it's because, like, you actually don't really see the twist coming.
Yeah, I did not see it coming.
Until it's too late, and then you're like, this is weird, and then you're like, oh no!
Oh god! Yeah, you're with, when Wesley and Angel realize, you're like, oh shit!
Yeah.
And then Barney kind of debriefs Angel on what's going on, teases to the demon hunter, and then Cordelia,
she goes on her audition.
Just look at the wine stain on my shirt. I can't meet your folks looking like this.
Don't worry, honey, it's no problem with extra strength stain be gone.
Extra strength stain be gone?
Yep. Now stain be gone is more effective at melting away stubborn blood, wine, even grass stains.
And before that, sorry, I skipped over this note. Angel being annoyed that Barney doesn't know about vampires is so weird.
If you're a vampire, why aren't you in your coffin?
Coffin. I hate that stereotype. You're a demon and you don't know anything about vampires.
Only what I learned from TV.
Vampires don't sleep in coffins. It's a misconception made popular by hack writers and ignorant media. In fact, you know, we can and do move around during the day, as long as we avoid direct sunlight, okay? Got it?
Got it. Sorry, didn't want to push any sore spots.
It's like, it was weird to see Angel get so worked up about some, and I get that he's, you know, he's obviously processing Doyle's death, so that's like their intention is he's, you know, having irrational reactions to things, but it was weird seeing him do that.
So I loved it in the first place because he's like, he goes on such a rant about it. And I think obviously part of it is so that he can throw in that line of like, vampires can stay up during the day as long as they're not in direct sunlight.
Yeah.
Obviously we need that, you know, moving forward and a little bit backwards.
Yeah.
But,
In case you haven't been paying attention for 3.5 seasons.
But it is, I think, just really funny that he has to, like, because I think you're right, it's part of him processing his grief or whatever, but the fact that he, like, he stands up and he almost starts pacing around to, like, rant at this poor demon about, like, vampire stereotypes is very silly.
It is very silly. And then we go to Cordelia's audition, and it's like equal parts sad and funny because you're witnessing Cordelia kind of process what she's going through.
Yeah.
But it's also funny their reaction. Like,
yeah.
Okay. That was
good.
That was good. Good.
Very nice.
Good. But I think what we're going for here is more of a
happy.
Yeah. Yes. And up feeling that the stain is gone.
Right. Because obviously stains are,
not good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Hey. It's an interesting choice.
What are you doing?
And then she's like still trying to do it through the vision because she gets her first vision at the audition.
Yeah.
And they're like,
okay, nice adjustment.
Nice.
Thank you.
We'll let you know.
And I just like, I'm shocked they even let her do it again.
I was like, I was surprised we did a second take. Didn't you just kick her out?
Oh, man.
It's really funny. And then Barney keeps telling, and then, Cordelia has the vision. She comes back, and she kisses Angel. And this is the very first of three, I think, Cordelia-Angel kisses.
That's not enough.
It's not enough. For the record, we're...
Oh, yeah.
We're big Angel-Cordelia fans.
It's also the first of three Cordelia kissing random dudes in this episode.
Yes, she kisses it, which is also hilarious. I was thinking about the kissing Angel in this episode, like in this viewing, because I was just like, oh yeah, we don't get any. We get this. We get a few dream ones. We get one when they're possessed, and then we get You're Welcome. And then, I mean, unless I'm forgetting, but I'm pretty sure that's all we get thing is a star-crossed lovers thing.
I do think that's it, and I think it's just probably the worst part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Of the whole, you know, Joss thing, especially with Charisma Carpenter. I'm just like, all of it's gross and all of it's bad. This is the worst part. This is the thing that is the worst impact on the story. Because there's literally no excuse.
No, she should have been all the way in every episode till the very end. And it would have been, I get so mad some days when I just sit and think about all the potential that was lost in losing her.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. But yeah, so Cordelia kisses Angel. He's very awkward about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Cordelia, that was, I think that you're acting out of grief and you're confusing our friendship something more.
I didn't
feel
anything.
He's confused, I think.
He is confused.
I think he's very much like, because it's Charisma Carpenter, and also he likes her. She's a friend. So he's confused, but he's also like, what the hell was that? It's really funny watching him just try to like explain like, well, I mean, but we're friends. And she's like moving on to the next thing. I felt nothing. And then she reveals that she got the vision. She doesn't want them. And I think it's good because her growth in accepting these visions mm-hmm. is so great.
I also, that's one of the things that I like especially about this character of Barney is that he and Cordelia are having a conversation about it, and she's pissed.
I'm never going to forgive him for doing this to me.
What? Choosing you? Trusting you with an enormous responsibility? Believing that you were the only one worthy of such a rare and important gift?
Did I mention the drooling?
I get the impression Doyle didn't have much by way of possessions.
No. No, he didn't.
Seems like he gave you the most valuable thing he had.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's a good thing for her to realize. It's such a heartbreaking thing for us, the audience, to realize. And it's just, it's so nice when you just are like, oh my God, yeah. Like,
yeah.
He did, like, well, we needed it to pass on regardless. And then the fact that he was like, this is the most important thing I have, because not only did it like bring me to Angel and to you, but it's the thing that is allowing me to make this sacrifice and become the best version of myself. And I think he's like, I want you to have that.
Right.
And I think that's so nice.
It's so great, especially so nice. Like paired with the especially paired with the top of the episode with her like trying to find something to remember him by, and then like as shitty as it is that it's a mind splitting headache, it's just like it's this thing that constantly reminds her of Doyle, and I think that's great. And so she says she's going to kiss every frog in this kingdom, and then she kisses Barney.
Boy, I gotta say, I like the way you people treat your clients.
Angel gets impatient with Cordelia because he wants her to draw what she saw.
The vision. What was the vision?
Oh, who knows? It was a thing.
A thing?
An ugly, gray, blobby thing. What difference does it make?
The difference is if you saw it in a vision, this could be an ugly, gray, blobby, dangerous thing.
I don't care. I want it out of me.
And then he investigates, and we get the reveal of who the rogue demon hunter is.
It's Wesley!
It's Wesley! He also, his posturing in this episode, where he's like, because he's wearing this all leather outfit. He also, like, he comes out of the shadows. He's holding a crossbow. It's a whole thing.
Yes.
And then he's, like, posturing around the room, and he tries to put his foot up on the bed, and it slips right off, and he almost falls completely down on his face. I'm obsessed.
It's so great, because when he reveals himself in the act out, he looks intimidating. He looks badass. And we know Wesley becomes really, really dark and badass.
It's my favorite. It is honestly, he is one of my favorite character arcs. I think he...
Oh, me too.
Wesley is such a fascinating character study.
It's so good. And then I love that he... Because some people can't pull off the badass thing, right? And so, like, it could very easily have been that where it's just, like, even the act out, you're like, come on, Wesley. But I was just like, oh, shit, you got
it. Works.
Look at you. Yeah. And then immediately when you come back, he's, like, stumbling and, like, Angel knocks the crossbow out of his hand. Like, you are nothing. And it is so – to just watch him deflate when Angel's just like, I am so unintimidated by you.
And it's, like, his stupid little, like, pissy – like prig British accent. It's just so funny that he
so
like
funny.
As soon as Angel like tosses the crossbow out of his hand, he falls right back into like Wesley the Watcher Boy, and it's so funny. And I love that he's like oh no, I quit the Watchers Council, like they didn't
putting
fire
up this whole
me
front.
Like and it's like Angel was like physically there when you got fired. I don't know what you're thinking of.
It's great too, because he's this episode kind of like breaks him out of that fake shell that he's in. Like it happens within one episode, which is really great to see him like put on this front and then be like, no, actually, okay, I'm just Wesley.
Yeah.
Which is
well,
great.
It's because it's also, but I think he's breaking out of this fake shell of being a rogue demon hunter, but also it's breaking it. it almost, this episode almost single-handedly also breaks him out of the last, like, vestiges of his counselness.
Oh, yeah.
Where, because he's, like, he's still trying to fight the good fight, which is super nice, but he's also still trying to do it, like, kind of with a counselish approach.
Yeah.
And so once he realizes that he, like, can kind of, you know, jump into a another team slash family with Cordelia and Angel, he's like, oh, I can just like be a person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to be under this weight of the council and my family's expectations. And I also don't have to be like a total idiot walking around in head to toe leather either.
Right.
It's really good. It's such good. And like, I don't even know if we can totally give it to the writers. I think a lot of it is Alexis Denisov's like performance. For sure. And I think that's, he is so stupid talented. And I think that's, I think it's him that's like more than half the reason why Wesley's character arc works as well as it does.
Yeah. Alexis Denisov is leagues of something. I don't know what phrase I was going for there.
I don't know. What was it the last time? It's not the same as apples and pears or some shit.
Welcome to Trevor's Bad Idioms. They get attacked by the hornless demon. And then Cordelia's drawing and the empath demon annoys her, but then she apologizes.
I'm sorry. Just trying to make conversation.
Barney, I'm sorry. I'm just going through a difficult time right now. I'm just,
missing your friend.
She's basically like, you know, she's basically like, get out of my fucking feelings, weirdo. And then she apologizes that she's like, she's not wrong though. It's just like, nobody needs you like, A, telling them how they feel, and B, listening to how they feel.
Well, that's the thing too. He's like, you seem frustrated. And she's like, oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can tell that? He's like, I can also sense sarcasm. And it's like, yeah, bitch, you're about to sense my foot in your face. Yeah,
that's right. Wesley and Angel show up. And Cordelia kisses Wesley, and he finally like gets what's the word I'm looking for?
Redemption.
Yeah, it's like, it's really, I really like it, because I was just like, yeah, man, you really like. I think we both agreed.
Oh yeah.
In season three, where we're like, that was all Wesley.
It's bad. Yeah. Well, you know, perhaps his time in this costume of a rogue demon hunter, he got laid all across the Southwest of America. You know,
may have happened. Who knows?
There's
it's
you know
been months.
There's naive women to take advantage of everywhere. He could have he could have got it done.
Oh no!
not in like a bad, not in a necessarily
not
bad
like
way.
An angel way.
No, I just think there's women that would have fallen for it, like that for wouldn't him, have realized he was putting on a character like he was.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But that I also sense. I think it's so important that Cordelia is like, man, I didn't feel anything, and Wesley is like,
I rather thought it went considerably better than last time.
Yeah. I also, I like two things, additional things about this. One is that Cordelia was taken aback by the kiss as well.
Yeah.
She was like, they both paused afterward.
Mm-hmm.
And even after he walked away, she kind of like looked off like that was a good kiss.
It looked like a really good kiss.
It did. Yeah. Like when he, like he's first, he's like scared and then he like wraps her up and I was just like, oh, okay.
Well, and but I agree with him. It looks like a way better kiss than the end of season three. Like,
yeah. Oh, 100%.
So much better.
And I think it's good that they ended it like that because
I
never really feel a will they, won't they with Cordelia and Wesley. And I think it was smart of them to handle this kiss in that way, to have her just be like, oh, I felt nothing. And then just like a little nothing. And then it goes away instead of being like, ooh, is this a new love interest? Because that would be dumb.
No, I appreciate that as well, because he like, I think going back to what I said a minute ago, I think this is what we start seeing in Wesley in season one and then for the rest of the series. I think we are finally seeing him for the first time ever just being who he is as a person. And so we don't want to immediately saddle him with a love interest. Cordelia is still grieving and she is processing this new power. It's like neither one of them are in any kind of space
that,
to be pursuing anything. And I think what comes from their relationship instead, which is just like a really deep friendship and like a loving friendship and kinship and everything is so much better than like keeping a will they won't they with the two of them. It doesn't suit either of their characters at all.
No, not at all. Yeah. I mean, it was weird when it was happening on Buffy.
Sure. It was weird for a different reason.
Yeah, it was weird for a whole other reason.
For like legal reasons on Buffy. Yeah.
I love that they clarified on Buffy, like, oh, she's 18. I'm like, okay, so, I guess she's still a child.
I mean,
she's still in high school.
She's allowed to make out with him.
That's
the thing. He's not employed by the school.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's just I don't think that Wesley is 30.
No, I think he was meant to be like 25 or something.
Yeah,
like
that. It's not great. I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying there's actually no legal ramifications for them making out once.
Yes.
So.
But yeah, so they don't go anywhere. And then the other thing that I really liked about this kiss was Cordelia doesn't even register that it's Wesley until after
after.
She's like, looking at it, she goes, wait, Wesley?
There's another man in the room. I've got to try kissing him too.
It's really funny.
It's super funny. I also, though, going back to how old she is, because Barney brings something up about how she's like in her 20s. And I was like, absolute maximum. 19. Cordelia, I could give her 20 if she like got held back in elementary school or something. I could make her 20, but all evidence is that she's 19.
I'm pretty confident someone said she was 18 around prom to graduation.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She has to be 18 or 19.
Like, yeah,
she didn't turn 20 from May to November.
I mean, that's the only thing. It's like you have to do a lot of math because maybe it was like the day after graduation was her 19th birthday. And so she's like almost 20 now.
Yeah, there
but
you
like,
go.
You know, it's just sort of, I don't.
It's like, no.
Yeah, there's no way.
They forgot that they were talking about the actress because Charisma Carpenter was like 28 or something.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, she's in her 20s. Shit. I mean.
The most logical is that she is currently 19.
Yeah. Or she's lying about her age.
Why would she do that?
To get alcohol and things like that.
What? Oh, like, oh, you mean
I'm
like
just saying,
she's,
like, in
she's
general,
claiming
she's lying.
21?
She's
okay.
Claiming she's 21 in Los Angeles to, A, get, you know, into auditions and things and not be seen as a kid and drinks and everything like that.
I mean, you're not wrong. I have some problems with the way she looks physically and that excuse. Because I don't believe she's having a hard time getting drinks.
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Being looked at as a child.
We always have to separate, too, like, our like the actual. I love that, too. Like, it's such a hard thing to separate whenever they're just like, I'll be alone forever. I'm like, have you looked at yourself?
It's so funny because Will and I have been watching, we have watched all of Riverdale. But at some point, I think it was last season, he stumbled upon this like headcanon where he was like, because we were wondering about it, about something that pertained to the story. And he was like, oh, my God, the twist here is that like all of these girls aren't actually hot. It's just that we're seeing them through the lens of Riverdale. They're like sixes everywhere else, but only in Riverdale are they as hot as they are. And it was just, I was like, oh, my God. And so that I was just thinking, I was like, wait. Is there like an angel filter on this and Charisma Carpenter is actually like 4 inches shorter and like three
right,
cup sizes smaller and like
that's what we got to think about. Yeah. And then Wesley tells Cordelia that he's a rogue demon hunter and the theme, the
she
wonderful
says,
line,
what's a rogue demon?
It's so good.
I love her.
I love her so much. Angel debriefs the empath demon. And then this is where Angel refuses to let Wesley come with him.
You're not catching him without me by your side.
I had somebody at my side. He's dead now. I'm not going to let that happen again. I work alone.
Because he's beating himself up.
Yeah. Wesley, though, to his credit, is like, I have to come with you. Like, you're not going to get anywhere without me because, like, I know things about this demon. Like, you need someone to help you. And I think even in that moment already, it's not about Wesley proving himself. He just is like, you need help, dude. Like, you cannot do this alone.
I understand where Angel's coming from, because he started his journey in Los Angeles alone, and he was convinced by Doyle that the powers that be want him to surround himself with people so he's not tempted.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, he lost, like, he grew close to someone and then lost that person.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, fuck this. I'm going to do what I came out here initially to do. Like, you're all wrong. I need to do this alone. Like, I get the raw emotion going on in his head. Even
yeah,
though
he
it's
just
wrong. He's just like,
he just presents it like a big baby.
Yeah, Wes is like, I'm not Doyle, dude.
Yeah,
like,
come on. What are we doing?
Back off.
I also, I do love, which we don't really get a ton of it in this episode. There's like a smidge, but one of my favorite things about having Wesley on board is that we now have a Giles equivalent on Angel, like someone who is smart and bookish and like can look things up and deliver the you know, info dumps that we have to have every episode about whatever the monster is.
Right. Yeah, it's great. And he serves his own purpose. Like, it's not a Giles copy. Like, it's
a different character,
so, which is really great. Wesley's uncomfortable in his leather. Hilarious.
because he's like, it sometimes chafes, and he's about to say his dick for sure, and then he's like, the legs.
He even, like, pulls it away from his leg, and then Cordelia's just staring at him. He, like, waddles off. It's so funny. Angel goes to this place where he thinks the demon is, and he's speaking another language.
건가해? 넌 거짓말이니, 인제? 우리 손님들이 도망 나가잖아.
I love this element of Angel. I wish there was more of it. The idea that he's a world traveler and, like, has this knowledge. Because you would think someone who's lived for hundreds of years would learn all these languages. You would especially before the internet, would have to learn these languages in order to, like, survive in all of these worlds that you're in.
Yeah.
And I love when that pops up. When he's just, like, fluent in Korean, you're like, oh, shit, that's right. Like,
it's amazing. I love that. I also, the part of it I love is that he has connections all over town. He knows this man who owns this spa, this like demon spa.
Yes.
I think that is also so important.
And then the demon asking where the shiatsu massages are is hilarious.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, because it's like presented as this like menacing. pops out
absolutely.
Of a shadow. Do you know where the shiatsu massages are?
That's definitely, okay, I'm going back to the thing. That's definitely what I wish, or what I think is like missing, I guess, from this show, especially like, I think it's something that they didn't totally realize they should be doing until it was like almost too late. And then we get like Lorne and his bar and everything. But it's like, we really should be experiencing more of like the everyday underbelly, like demon underbelly of Los Angeles in a way that, like, you know, why aren't they already going to like these bars and places? And that goes back to even the beginning of this episode where Angel's so worried that he doesn't have a connection to the powers that be anymore. And I'm like, just go out patrolling like Buffy does.
Yeah. You fucking coward.
Yeah. What the hell? You need like specific missions. Like, just go out and do it.
Yeah. I would say my thoughts on that are that I think it might be purposeful the way they do, because when they do bring Lorne in, the whole world expands.
Absolutely.
Like, everything is a lot grayer, and I think they purposefully let season one be the rollout of that because the majority of the audience is coming from Buffy.
Yeah.
And so we are coming from a world where Buffy sees everything black and white. Everybody does. And there's rarely an in-between until later in the series. And so we came off of season three of Buffy, and we come into Angel, and they're slowly letting us see this underbelly world, and then we get Lorne in season two and on, and all that stuff kind of, because even in an episode that's like five or six down the line when Angel's in that fight club, it's just demons. They're slowly like showing us these elements, because Barney says in this episode in the beginning, he's just like, yeah, I know I'm a demon and I'm evil, but I'm not like evil.
Yeah. It's very that one thing from Wreck-It Ralph where he goes to the bad guys meeting and he's like, just because I am bad guy doesn't mean I am bad guy.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
It's so good.
I love it.
It's good. Which is interesting because it's like, demons aren't they're not inherently good things. They're from hell dimensions, like,
but
originally.
They can be neutral.
They can be, yeah,
in
they
their
can
behavior.
Be neutral. They can do good.
Yeah.
And so he's that his line is basically like, yeah, I might come from an evil, and I mean, Barney obviously turns out to be evil, but like he's saying, I might come from an evil existence, but I'm choosing not to. And so then Cordelia's drawing her vision.
Mm-hmm.
She's frustrated, and the demon finds out that she has visions.
Yeah.
I just wrote, he's going to steal her. he is so mean to her. And
yeah, what the hell?
How old are you?
That is none of your...
20-something? With your head all up in the clouds and your feet and shoes you can't afford. All self-absorbed, full of regret. Oh, poor, poor you. Poor little Cordelia with her delusions of an acting career.
Delusions?
Well, you don't possibly think you'll succeed, do you? You're a terrible actress.
You have never seen me. How could you possibly know?
Because you know. You feel it.
Oh,
yeah, it's tough. It's
oh,
pretty tough.
Oh, God. Even if it's not true, like, just knowing that he's an empath demon and being able to cut into your own psyche, that one always hits me so hard.
I feel like she tries to keep being an actress for, like, way longer than she should.
Oh, for sure. Even when she gets, when Skip intervenes in, like, season 3.
Yeah.
There's the whole thing where she gets, like, the show and the life of her dreams. And I think that's the end of it, because then that's where she ultimately decides, like, no, this is my purpose.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always like this back. I'm like, come on, Cordy. I think we all know this isn't
killing me.
Yeah.
Because she's not very good at it.
No, she's not.
And we know she can't sing because of the puppet show.
It's so great. And then dude, so mean to Cordelia. Angel's trying to understand the dying demon. And this is where Wesley shows up in between. So it's interesting. So Wesley shows up in his white suit. And he is now in between Wesley from season 3 of Buffy and Rogue Demon Hunter. He's like, I'm not the council's bitch. And I'm not somebody that I'm not.
Yeah.
This is who I am. I'm smart. I can help. Let me help. And then he grows from this to something in between this and Rogue Demon Hunter, which is so fascinating. Like, by the end of the series, I love him so much.
At a certain point in season 2 or 3, I don't remember, he goes so far past Rogue Demon Hunter that you're like,
so
what
dark.
The fuck, dude?
So bad. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm so excited to talk about all of these.
Me
stories.
Too. I can't wait for Lorne. I can't wait for Fred. I'm so excited.
What's interesting too is this is also like with you and with anybody else that I talk to about Buffy, it's always almost always Buffy related. Like, it's always about things that happen on Buffy, and I rarely ever talk about Angel. So I'm so excited to just like get it all out, because there's so much great shit in this show.
I am too. There's really like, there's always really lovely moments that, you know, they're, you know, as spread out as they are on Buffy, but it's like whenever, like, I think a lot, like, more than than feels reasonable about the moment in, there's like one episode with Lorne where that person is trying to like stop time forever.
Oh yeah.
And he makes that beautiful speech about how you have to have the ups and downs in life and everything.
Oh,
and I think about that constantly.
So
and
good.
It's just so beautiful. And Andy Hallett is so wonderful at delivering it. And like, and then not for nothing, but the best thing Lorne ever did was make David Boreanaz sing Mandy.
Yeah.
so we have that to look forward to. Trevor is going to play it in its entirety in our episode. Yes. I'm going to force him to.
That's just what we'll open the episode with. I also love, like, people who haven't watched Angel or doing this with us for the first time. They're like, Angel sings Mandy. What in the world would cause that to happen?
The Barry Manilow classic Mandy.
Get
it's
excited.
Incredible.
And Angel chooses that song.
He decides to pick that song.
Incredible part. Yeah, that's so good. Wesley translates. Wesley comes in, he translates, and they realize Cordelia's in danger.
Mm-hmm.
Cordelia wakes up bound and gagged, and then
she sees the blobby thing from her vision.
Yeah, she sees the blobby thing, yeah. And then we come back to Angel and Wesley, and Wesley's really down on himself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fraud. The council was right to sack me. Yes, I was fired. I had two slayers in my care. One turned evil and now vegetates in a coma. The other's a renegade. Fire me? Surprised I didn't cut my head off.
And it's legitimately sad. Like, I feel so bad for him.
Yeah.
When he lays out the things that he did, lost, like, one slayer Quinn, the other one murdered, went on a murder spree, like, became a supervillain. Like, look, he's like, I'm surprised they didn't kill me.
She only murdered, like, three people.
Yeah.
Also, that was, like, already... She was already bad by the time Wesley got there. There's nothing he could have done about that.
No, she wasn't. He was there when she killed the guy.
Yeah, but she was already being all suspicious and stuff.
No, he's 100%
yes, because when he's there and they're doing those like training exercises or whatever, and she's like making like eyes at Buffy and everything, she is already down, like going down the hill. She hasn't killed Alan yet, but she's already
okay.
Like,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant, was like he's there before she kills Alan.
Well, yes, 100%, but
she's... You just mean more like she's like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, she's like, I don't need you. Gwendolyn is already
she's
dead.
She's basically, yeah, she's set on her path. Yeah, for sure.
She hasn't done the thing yet, but she's already way checked out. So, like, he had nothing to do with that.
Yeah,
he can't take responsibility for that. And it is his own fault that Buffy quit, but, like...
He did a lot of dumb shit. Like, he was a bad watcher.
You know.
It's
almost like you shouldn't force your children to be things they don't want to be, and you should let them pursue their own lives and hobbies.
Almost like that,
and
yeah.
And careers.
It's interesting, because it's like you... Giles. That would be the ship.
Giles. It would Giles. Be the ship.
Giles was... close to Wesley when Buffy showed up, but he wasn't as much of a hard ass. He was just more like, but there's ways to do things. But he also let Buffy do her own thing, and then eventually grew into the fatherhood nature that he has. But
I think that's actually what's really fascinating about it. I don't remember if we've already had the note, or because I think it was when Kendra first showed up, and she, because Buffy's like, there's a handbook, and he's like, the minute I met you, I just threw it away because I knew it wasn't gonna work for you. So like, no. So I think that's the difference with Giles, is I think because he has the darkness in his past, he's more flexible. And Wesley was just like a company man through and through. And he was like way too rigid as a watcher, which actually made him worse at his job than Giles was.
Well, and we'll find out later in season 5 too, that Wesley's like got a epic father complex. So we are,
that is one of my favorite episodes of the whole series.
It's
so good.
So Wesley's beating himself up, and then...
I'm useless. A fool. Sniveling, great...
Ugly gray blobby.
Yes, I'm an ugly gray blobby... What?
It's so funny. Yeah. He's like, oh yes, I'm an ugly grape. What?
Hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. What are you saying, Angel?
So funny.
This is another thing. Angel not only recognizes what Cordelia drew, which is a testament in and of itself, but Angel recognizes the sculpture because of his history. I love when we have elements of like hundreds of years of Angel. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like we tapped into that at all on Buffy.
I don't know. His apartment was always full of stupid art.
Right, but it was all just decoration. Like, he never... I mean, but again, he, like, as we've talked about forever, he didn't help on Buffy unless his arm was twisted.
Exactly.
So, like, here, he's actively doing stuff so he can recall all that stuff. And to compare it to Anya, it's something that we both have talked about, where we, like, Anya should... They should be pulling from Anya all the time. And they don't, and it drives me insane, because I'm like, she has thousands of years of knowledge.
She's literally been alive for 1,120 years.
It's insane.
ask her fucking questions. It's instead dumb. It's just 100% Xander being like, stop talking about all the men that you've like slaughtered or whatever. And I'm like, but if you could only ask about the correct man that she slaughtered, perhaps you'd get an answer to some of this fucking shit. Imagine if she like knew the whole time what Glory was.
Oh my God.
Imagine they find out from the council and Anya's like, I knew that.
If you would have fucking asked me, I could have told you, you dipshit.
Oh, I've known that. Is that what we're doing? That's what we were trying to find out? I knew that.
Did you guys not know that she was a massive spoiler, by the way. Jesus. My bad.
You can just bleep it.
Yeah. That's what I'll do. Cordelia is auctioned off. Cordelia's auctioned off. She convinces the bidding to continue, which is smart.
You know you pay twice that for cataracts. These eyes are flawless even without the stupid visions. That the best you can do?
I love it. She's so smart.
Yes.
She's like,
I gotta buy time. Yeah. I know Angel's gonna come here.
Yeah.
And then Wolfram and Hart buy Cordelia for $30,000.
Yeah.
Fucking Wolfram and Hart, man.
Literally, though, still... No, we have not met a single one. Well, we have met one, but we haven't re-met any of the lawyers that we will continue with.
Yeah, we met
Lindsay.
Lindsay, thank you. We met Lindsay, and let me tell you, new to Angel audience. Woo!
He's great too.
Oh, I love Lindsay's story. But yeah, we haven't even scratched the surface of Wolfram and Hart. That is just like that. Is a whole thing. Hank wants to cut out Cordelia's eyes. He's a fucking weirdo, man. Like, he is really
he's just back there too. They're trying to negotiate with the Wolfram and Hart lady for like an extra $1,000 or whatever, but meanwhile the guy that's like holding her has the like eye clumper things, and he just keeps like clicking them right next to her like eyes. I was like, oh God.
Yeah, this is really odd. And I also love that it's $1,000. I'm like, you just spent $30,000.
$1,000.
But then it also shows how evil they are, that they're like, whatever, just take her eyes out and get rid of the body.
Also, okay, here's my question. Is this just like a thing to have? Or like, will her eyes still give visions?
That's always been my question watching this. I was like,
right?
Are we sure that you'll get the visions by taking her eyes? You might as well take the body. Like, you don't know how this works. There's no, like, science behind it.
I don't know.
And I'm sure the powers that be would rip it away also. Like,
well, 100% that. I was like, also, sorry, she like received these visions as like a blessing, you could say. If you then forcibly remove her eyes, I don't think the powers that be are going to let you keep the visions. Yeah. These visions are like for a greater purpose.
Yeah, it's so weird. I try not to think about it too much because I'm like, I feel like that doesn't. Yeah. Then again, it also plays into they don't know. So they could spend the $30,000. Wolfram and Hart spending $30,000 is like us spending a penny.
Yeah.
And so they don't know. They're just like, oh, we'll do it. And then if it doesn't work, they're like, whatever, throw the eyes away. Like, it's just an attempt to get it, I guess.
Interesting.
And then Angel and Wesley show up to save the day. Wesley is very bad in action. And
of course
it's hilarious.
He gets better. Like, he does get better.
He gets really good, actually. And I like that growth as well. But yeah, he's literally like falling over trying to cut Cordelia out. It's hilarious. And then also one of my favorite line deliveries ever.
I'm going to crush you within an inch of your life. And then I'm going to take that inch.
He does really scream that at the guy.
It's so funny. It's the funniest delivery. And then, you know, they win. They get home. Cordelia frames the picture, which is a real... I love it so much. It's actually... Anybody who looked at my art for this one, I feel like it just completely got lost because it's very hard to see. But the paper that's underneath the kickstand of Wesley's motorcycle is her drawing. So I took her drawing, I put it on a piece of paper and crumpled it up. But it's so like washed out and like under dark light that it's hard to see. So a fun little Easter egg for anybody who wants to go back and look at that. And then this ending. So Wesley's they're basically like not
I don't get the sense that they're ignoring him on purpose. It seems more like they know sure. Wesley wants them to invite him to stay, and they want yeah. him to ask to stay, kind of thing.
Sure.
And so he feigns like, oh, I'm going to leave.
So I go.
Take care.
What I love, though, is, I mean, obviously, I love the way this episode ends. I love seeing them as a family eating and everything.
Yeah.
But what I love is he does this speech. He says goodbye, turns around and comes back and starts like this big farewell speech.
Yeah.
And this music starts up that is essentially poking fun at him, like making it like yeah. this big, long, sad speech of farewell. And that same cue transitions into like an actual sentimental cue when they invite him to eat and like you see them just being sweet and cute with each other. I love it so much. Just the way we're like, oh, okay, I like this. Like yeah. it's a really sweet emotion to end on.
I agree with you. That's very sweet. My issue is that since when the fuck does Angel cook eggs? What? That's I beg your pardon? He's cooking eggs and toast?
And Cordelia at least says, like, I don't know. I mean, for a guy who can't taste or whatever their fucking reasoning is for yeah. food, is like, he makes really good food.
He never once cooked anything for Buffy.
Ever.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Every single time that the end of this episode, it's so lovely with, like, with Wesley and everything, and then, but I'm just like, I can't pull my eyes away from Angel cooking eggs.
Yeah. You're like, what the fuck, man?
and Cordelia being like, this is tradition. Whenever we yeah. pull an all-nighter, Angel makes eggs in the morning. And I'm like, what? Bitch, since when? I've never seen such a thing in my life. And I don't think he ever does it again.
That we see, yeah. for sure. I love going on this whole tangent about how sweet it all is. You're like, yes, but.
However.
This is horseshit.
It's ridiculous.
It does look delicious, though.
It looks amazing. Like, eggs, ooh. Eggs and toast are amazing.
Yeah, they're classic. But yeah, it's all.
Well, especially because Wesley does this whole thing where he's like, he's like, ah, yes, the life of a rogue demon hunter is filled with feast and famine. And then he just is like a deep gnawing hunger that never yeah. goes away.
They're like, do you want some?
Are you hungry? Like, do yeah. you need
we
food?
We can hook you up.
When's the last time you had a full meal, Wesley?
It's great because this is our family now. Like, Wesley, Cordelia, and Angel are our family. And then we get new members. We'll get Gunn. Before the season's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure he's reluctant for a while.
Yeah.
Until like middle of season two is when he like fully kind of yeah. joins them. But yeah. And then, you know, obviously Fred, and I'm just spoiling all the names, but.
I love Fred. I can't wait
Fred. Yeah. Fred's great. But yeah, that's this episode. And now we have a new team, but we'll always miss Doyle.
Yes, we will.
Thanks for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Trevor Carley.
And I am with my other show at So I'm Watching, or my personal account at FiddleDD85.
As always, please rate, review, and subscribe, and we will see you next week.
Bye.